This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, the 31st of July, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely...
Bird on a bike.
Miss on a bike.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I tell you what was really interesting today, you know. Mm-hmm. I was on... I'm not name-dropping, but I was on the BBC today, darling.
The BBC?
The BBC.
You were on the BBC?
Yes. They said, Bird, we need you to speak for us. I said, of course. And they were talking about body image and women's understanding and what's gone on in the press recently.
Yeah.
Because of Love Island, and I know you've been watching it.
Yeah.
I know you've been watching it.
Of course.
Right.
I and have they were no saying about it even.
They were talking yes you do. And they were talking about the body image and how there was somebody that put a big tweet out about it, how she was literally the press didn't give her too much kindness for her body shape and what she was wearing.
I genuinely have never watched this. Were they fat shaming her? What was going on?
They were everything her. Shaming about her bra strap showing from her thing. So anyway, I was on the BBC, darling, talking about this and how confidence and women empowerment and things like that. Very interesting.
It is.
It is. And we talk about this in business all the time.
What about image and how
brand,
you...
Yeah.
And it's funny though, isn't it? Because it doesn't... The funny thing is, I've seen people... Well, I guess you've got to be a little bit realistic or pragmatic about this. For the most part, nobody really cares what blokes look like. They're just blokes, aren't they, really?
You're absolutely right.
It tends to be directed more at women in terms of how they look or how people perceive that they look.
Yeah.
But I've seen women that, by conventional wisdom, are big, large, but have just got such a personality... Mm. And such a way of dressing to suit themselves that they look incredibly glamorous and smart and all the rest of it, when other circumstances, you wouldn't think... Do you know what, you see where I'm going? That it isn't really about body shape, is it? Mm. It's about perceptions as much as anything else. And
I
of course,
think you're in the minority there. A lot of people are body, aren't they? Which is a shame.
I'm not saying that people don't do it, but, you know, don't... I don't know what the word is, but people are judged on their body shape a lot,
yeah.
They are, especially women. It's not so much men. I mean, or if men are judged on their body shape, they go, so what? Yeah. You are right. So women are judged on it. I'm just making the point that you don't need to.
Yeah. I've been guilty of that. A very good friend of mine and yours, Bird, Mandy Gunning. I met a friend from the hospital. He had dreadlocks, tattoos, and looked totally like, you know, he was going to grab your handbag or something. Mm. And she said, don't judge him. He's lovely. He's a really good friend of mine. And we went on a picnic with the children. He's the best person you've ever met.
Mm.
Absolutely gorgeous. And I had to apologise to her. I said, I'm sorry, but I did what everyone else does. And I did judge him on how he looked.
It's easy to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And psychologically, we're made up to make those quick judgments based on... not very much information. And that's understandable in a first instance, but what you need to do is to grow from that, isn't it? Mm. And to get to understand people. Mm. Interesting. So
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, no, so
and they were all talking about it as well.
So,
and I said to you, it was, look, I had a loaded finger then at you.
You
then.
Did, I noticed
it's
that.
It's very rare, it's loaded,
yeah,
is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel about this, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm even calling you Paul.
Yeah.
I never call you Paul.
No.
It's always Mr. Andrews.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now I'm quite passionate about this.
Yeah,
no.
With a loaded finger and calling me by my name.
Yeah.
It could get worse any minute now.
No, what I was going to say was what was nice was actually to be talking on the BBC and having a conversation about it rather than being interviewed and being proven right, wrong, all in the same sentence.
Yeah.
That's what I enjoyed, is that we're actually all enjoying listening to each other's conversation.
Don't you, just as a thing about that...
Mm.
Don't you think that makes much better radio and much better understanding than rather than being confrontational all the time? So much radio is confrontational.
Yeah.
You know, you get a politician on and you go, I put it to you that you're a conniving, stealing, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Where does that get you?
Mm.
I don't understand where that gets you. Why isn't it better to have a conversation about all the issues involved in whatever it is you're talking about and explore the different points of view of it. Well, I don't understand this constant need for confrontation with everything.
I think it is changing.
Yeah.
It's changing. That's why I've got my radio show.
Yeah, exactly.
I try and get it.
Have you got a radio show, bud? Have you?
I try and get it in every week.
She's got a radio show.
I try and get it in every week.
Any minute now, she's telling us it's at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday called The Conversation.
It is, but I'm not going to.
No, but don't tell anyone.
No.
It's 1 o'clock on a Wednesday.
It is.
Called a conversation with Bird.
And it's really important that we talk openly. Mm. I don't have to agree with you. There's lots that you and I don't agree with. Well, there isn't. But when we don't agree...
Yeah, you know, you're wrong about loads of things.
When we don't agree, it's. I quite like that because I learn so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But both of you are very open-minded. A lot of people, they're so narrow-minded that they won't be told or they won't listen. Their way is the way it's always been, and that's what they think.
See, I like a good argument, though. And one of the things I'm really terrible at doing is completely reversing my position halfway through an argument. And I quite like to do that. But some of it is actually based on learning. So I'll have an argument with someone, and they'll say something, and I think... Oh, blimey, they might be right there. I'll go away and look it up, and then the next person I have an argument with, I'll go, hey, and then there's another thing. Because it's that learning.
You know? Yeah, definitely.
Why? No human being can know everything about everything. It's not remotely possible. And even people that set themselves up as experts are routinely wrong.
Mm.
Yeah, they're routinely wrong in their analysis, because it's just a guess. Yeah.
Mm. But you just said something amazing then.
What's that?
They set... themselves up as experts.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
That's
credibility.
They
set themselves up for a fall. Yeah.
Not even that. They tell you they're the expert.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, I am.
Yeah.
Well, that's self-fulfilling. Yeah.
You don't know any different, so you believe them.
You do, yeah.
Unless you question it.
Yeah, exactly. And they may well be qualified, and they may well be academically strong, and they may well have worked in an industry for certain years. But if you think about this, I don't know if you've ever worked for a big company, but... every single big company I've ever worked for, the people that are in it quite often get to a point with the business where the business starts to fail because they haven't adapted.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is they're so expert in their business that they don't see the need to change.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
And you see that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they think they don't need the staff. I mean, you know, you're lucky to have a job.
The word is called overcomplacency.
Yeah, exactly. And you find that so often. And that's where most experts fall down, is they're so confident of their expertise that they haven't looked at how the world's changed around them, what things are different, and all the rest of it. Just as a complete aside, the nonsense that we've seen last week talking about the potential of Brexit to create shortages of things is just so detached from reality as to be untrue, because people that are saying these kind of things do not understand how goods are transported.
Mm.
Yeah, they still think that a lorry arrives at a port and you undo the back doors and you get all the boxes out and have a look at what's in them. We haven't done that for 40 years. We have a system called TIR. HMRC, if you go into the HMRC, I only know this because I looked it up. I mean, I don't normally know this kind of thing. I looked it up. They say that each consignment from non-EU traffic takes approximately 5 seconds to clear customs because it's all computerised. And because people don't know that, they make assumptions about how things are going to be.
Yeah, because really, with the whole Brexit thing, we were told limited stuff, weren't we? We were told what they wanted us to.
Brexit is a classic example from both sides claiming to be expert in things and telling you something that neither of them know.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what's going to happen because it hasn't happened yet. Nobody can tell the future, so you don't know what's going to happen. But everybody keeps telling you what they think might happen. And they may be right and they may be wrong. Who knows? Anyway, experts. You know what the definition of an expert is, don't you?
No.
An ex is a has-been and a spurt is a drip under pressure.
I had an ex-husband. And I used to say to him, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you.
Sounds like you wear the trousers.
Yep, definitely. I think you wore a skirt anyway. That's another story.
On that note, what have you got?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Network is networking event. A full day. It is all about networking, helping business owners to be more productive with their time and great make great connections. This is one of my favourite places, actually, Brands Hatch Place. I really like going there for conferences, for speaking there, for putting stuff on. There's some great speakers at this event, Mr. Andrews.
Is there?
There is. There is. Brian Wakefield, who I love to give a cuddle at the best of times. He's the publisher of GM Life magazine, as well as running, if not the biggest networking breakfast meeting in Kent. Did he write this? Or
yeah, yeah, I think he did, Brian.
Yeah, and that's BBN. We then have Ben Abbott, who we had on, was it? A couple of weeks ago we had him on, didn't we?
He was on my show.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah, and he was also on Amanda's show.
Yeah. So he's the owner of Maximum Media, host of the Kent Business Podcast and public speaker. And Ben will be sharing his experiences of networking and how he sees mindset as a vital part of getting a great result from networking. And then...
Oh, it's me.
I was going to set you up then beautifully. We have the one and only Mr. Andrews. He's a serial... Do you know this guy? He's a serial entrepreneur. He's a businessman and a mentor.
I didn't write this.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Who is passionate about SME businesses and business community. Hey, you want to get your early bird ticket. They're available until the 26th of August. So listen up, because this is really interesting. £18 instead of £20, and that's with refreshment but without lunch, or £27, which would be £30, and that's with refreshments and a buffet lunch. And you need to go to www.worldwideweb.com. butterfliesbusinessevents.co/NNE.
The last one of the NNE events was at Port Lynn a couple of months ago, and it was epic. It was absolutely epic. We had a brilliant, brilliant time. Each one has got bigger and bigger and bigger.
What I like is that you've got new people coming. It isn't the same crowd. It isn't the same speakers. It's really great that you've got this new, fresh eyes coming to it, as I like to say.
Yeah. No, they're really good fun.
What you got?
I've got a series of networking events on Romney Marsh. Okay, there's the 8th of August at the Cinqport Arms. That's networking over coffee at 10 a.m. And then there's Marsh networking over breakfast on the 23rd of August. That's at 7:45 a.m. And that's at the Ship in Dymchurch. And that includes a full English breakfast. And then there's the Marsh After Hours Networking and Business Forum. That's on Tuesday, the 11th of September at 5 p.m. And again, that's at the Ship in Dymchurch. Now, you can book any of those and find out all the details about them by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marsh-network. So kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marsh-network. Or you can email the guy that runs it, Terry Botfield, and you can email him terry@botfield.net.
See, he needs to change his email, because his Twitter is much more fun.
Yeah, TD Botty.
I love it.
TD Botty is his Twitter handle.
It's the best.
Yeah, and give him a follow.
Just because we're talking about Terry, he's got a charity dinner. We are holding a charity dinner to raise funds for CARM on Friday, the 14th of September at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch. And that's music from Two Harps and the Magic from Stuart Weller. I got very excited then. I thought it was Paul Weller. And three-course meal. If you would like to attend, or if you would like to donate an auction or raffle prize, you can email terry@botfield.net. Or go to his Twitter, which is
TD Botty.
There we go.
Lucky I remembered that, really, wasn't it? There are two Twitter handles that I love: TD Botty and Imperious Blablinky.
Neither we can spell.
I can't spell either, but I can say the both. Imperious Blablinky. Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Who's that?
It's a guy called Dave Philpott.
Of course.
Dave used to be the chief executive of the Kent and Surrey Air Ambulance. And he's actually now chief executive of the Wiltshire Air Ambulance, amongst a lot of other things. But his Twitter handle is Imperious Blublinky.
Love it.
And that is my favouritest Twitter handle of all time.
Ever.
Yeah. I want to tell you about this now. The Business Bunker, that's us, radio show, is pleased to partner with the University of Kent Business School. We'll be bringing you information and insights from the business research undertaken at the university. We'll be forging links with SMEs and the university and listing details of the various events, networking meetings and the annual business summit. You can read about this year's summit that took place in January 2018 and download the report. and they're setting up the next summit for the start of next year. But before that, they've got two free events that are taking place, and they're calling these Business Soundbite events. On the 12th of September, they have an event, Female Leadership in Small and Large Organisations, subtitled, Is the Future Female? That's taking place at the Sibson Building, which is the home of the Kent Business School, on the campus there at Canterbury. It's a brand new building. On the 12th of September.
Do they tell you who's speaking at that? I bet Patricia Lewis is speaking at that one.
I don't know at the moment. They're just formulating the lineup, but I've got a link where you can go and look at all of this. And then the next one is the 21st of November, so it's some time off yet. Man and Machine, The End of an Era. Are Robots Taking Over the Workplace?
Of course.
And again, that's at the Sibson Building. If you want to find out about either of those, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, you've got all the details and the links to book.
Now, you're excited about this, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Why?
Because they've got so much research data. They've got so many things going on at the university. And one of the things I love, one of the things they said to me is, we want to stop talking to big business. Well, they don't want to stop talking to business. They want to talk to small businesses. They want to build relationships with SMEs and micro businesses, because they've worked out, the same as some of the rest of us, that that's the future. Small is beautiful. It's where we're going. Localism, small and local businesses are the future. That's where we're going. That's where all the new jobs are being created. That's what's happening. And they want to build relationships with smaller businesses. And in the past, smaller businesses have not overly worried about academic institutions like universities and being involved with them. Mm. And they want to end that. They want people to get involved. We did a series with them 2 years ago called the BIG, the Business Improvement Program. And they interviewed 17,000 small businesses, and they identified 10 traits that aided towards the success of small businesses. And we did one of the traits each month for 10 months. And that was a fantastically successful program. And so they're moving it on and moving to the next stage now.
Yeah, I like
and
it.
That's why I'm excited about
it. Yeah.
My brother-in-law he was invited by the university again. He's a blacksmith.
All right.
And he set up a workshop in teaching people blacksmithing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. That must have been part of that program.
Yeah, absolutely. They're looking at all kinds of things and all kinds of things that people do. It's, you know, just practical stuff.
Important. Okay, we've got a tweet here from Athelray. I clearly love them today, so here you go. They said, please, they've got booking of any of our October courses, performance management appraisals. And this is the funniest bit. Kate just messaged me going, I've spelled appraisals wrong. And that's on the 3rd, and marketing on the 10th, and communication skills on the 17th, all at Chilston Park, another beautiful event. And you can bring a colleague along with you for half price. So that's one for £299. And one at 149.5.
Fantastic.
I love that. So that's for a full day, and guess what? It's including lunch. Oh, I like this, that we include lunch all the time now.
You just absolutely. I won't go anywhere unless I'm fed.
Yeah, we know.
Oh, I know someone else like that. Well, I do. Yes. We call him Oliver.
Yeah. More.
I don't get it.
He Oliver.
Can I have some more?
Please, sir. Oh. More, please.
More, sir.
Yeah. I thought Oliver Moore was somebody.
Oh, that's who he is. He very probably is.
But I didn't know who Oliver Moore was. I'm like, have I missed the point or something? Carry on.
Following on from the success of last year's Gorillas and Gowns charity fashion show, Butterflies Events is excited to announce the Chimps and Tricks charity event at Portland Hotel on Friday the 19th of October, 6 p.m. to 11:30 p.m, raising funds to support the Aspinall Foundation Mega Fauna Project. Hosted by Amanda Flanders of Butterfly Business Events and me, apparently, in collaboration with Jane Mucklow of Jane Mucklow Photography, guests will be welcomed with a glass of bubbly and canapes in the stunning setting of the main house before moving to the marquee for a mixture of great entertainment, mouth-watering food, an auction done by me with loads of exciting pledges, and then dancing the night away with the fabulous Jason Allen Sway and his swing band. That won't be me.
You love a dance.
Bit of salsa. Yeah.
He won't be doing that, will he?
No, it'll be swing. Yeah. Amanda has gathered together a great variety of Kent entertainment for the evening to excite and delight you. There's three amazing magicians who will be working the room, blowing your mind with their skill. There's also two casino tables to test your luck. During the evening, you'll be continually supplied with the most delicious food from the fabulous Chives caterers, and then you'll get the chance to bid on the auction pledges that take your fancy. Our entertainment, who are all donating their time for free, are magician Stu Weller, magician Rob Scott and magician Neil Edward. The casino is supplied by Dan Smith at Ace Casinos, and the music is by Jason Allen Sway and his swing band. We're raising money for the Aspinall Foundation's Megafauna Project, a project established to reintroduce the regionally extinct mandrill and a reinforcement to the low numbers of chimpanzees in the Bateke Plateau region. So to book your tickets, butterflybusinessevents.co.uk/what's on.
I like it.
Chimps and Tricks.
I like it.
October. Plenty of time to save up. Mm. Be there. Last year's Gorillas and Gowns was fabulous. It was a really brilliant event. We raised $6,000 on the night, which was lovely.
Mm.
Yeah.
Construction Expo South East 2018 will be held in Sussex at the South of England Event Centre, which offers a more central and accessible location, providing Construction Expo with the opportunity to continue to expand to meet the needs of the fast-moving sector. Do you know what? I think the Construction Expo, we get a bit confused with it. I know so many people who go who aren't in the construction industry. They do, don't you? Don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's just a great... Everybody's coming together for it.
Well, it's loads of things. There's loads of things... There's loads of business you can do. You know, I know lawyers that go. I know accountants that go. I know insurance brokers that go. Anyone can go, just because it's about construction.
Exactly. It's about being creative and understanding your business.
And the speakers are great. I mean, Kevin Byrne is the keynote speaker at the breakfast.
We loved him, didn't we?
Kevin was the founder of Checker Trade. And he's really great. He was on the show... Last week?
No.
No, week before.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
He was on this show 2 weeks ago. Really great guy. He just sold the business for a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
But
what we liked about him was we wanted to listen.
Yeah.
We actually just all were quiet. We didn't want to interview him. We just wanted to hear his wisdom.
His story, yeah.
Yeah, and he was very humble and gracious, wasn't he? So the next event is Thursday the 13th of September. It feels weird saying September. South of England Event Centre, and that's Ardling at Hayward Heath, and that's 8:30 till 4:30. You can go and book your ticket, which is on
www.constructionexpouk.co.uk. Do you know what we're going to do now?
I'd like to hear from them.
We're going to talk to our next guest. We're going to talk to Joe and Debs. And Debs
not,
and Joe.
Not Joe and Dad.
No, not Joe and Dad. No, she left her dad at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a new joke, folks.
You can tell the joke because now you can actually say to them, you want your jingle right.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. They are. We've had a jingle.
Ear bending.
Right. And it says Joe and Dad. So, yeah.
And it does say Joe and Dad, didn't it?
It does. My dad loves it, but Debs has got a bit of
Listen, ladies, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure
to
see you here. I want to tell people about how we met, because it was interesting. We actually met at a networking event here in this building at Kent Space, where the Channel Radio studio is located. And you guys were doing the catering, were you not?
Yeah, we
were.
That's correct.
And you said, hi, we're Joe and Debs. We're from Joe and Debs Cleaning.
Yeah. Yep.
You're doing the catering, and I went, yep. So talk us through that.
Well, that was me and Debs. We've been friends for a long, long time, and Debs always believed in me and said, you should go into business, you've got the gift of the gab, and you've got a lot of contacts. And I have, but I never believed that I could do it in business. It was always a stretch too far on what other people do.
Joe, if you don't mind me asking, what were you doing before you went into business?
I was a fitness instructor,
and
we worked both... Myself and Debs worked for Kent Autistic Trust.
Right.
I had about three different jobs. And then I went to go for another job and did really well, was really working out. The lady liked me. I won't mention the company. And I was there a week, made her a lot of money. And then the second week, she said, I don't think it's working out. And so I was left without a job because I gave up all of the fitness, gave up Kent Autistic, and I didn't have a job for 3 months.
Wow.
And really low, and Debs picked up on it, and she said, you're not yourself, Joe, you're not yourself. And I said, well, I'm going to have to sell my house.
And the kids were sort of saying, "Mum, you're going to have to get off the sofa, Mum. You've got to do something. You've brought us up, you've dragged us up better than that." So then Debbie come round and she said, "Why don't we clean?" I said, "I don't like cleaning my own house." And I did have a cleaner. And she was advertising and she didn't end up meeting up with us. And we said, "Oh, you need to be a bit more professional in business." Deb went, "Well, let's do it ourselves." And that was it. Next day we went cleaning. So we came to Kent Space and we said, "Do you want cleaners? They've already got established cleaners. They've been here ages." "Oh, no, we don't want any cleaning services, but do you know any catering services?" And Debbie is honest. I'm not so honest. And she always goes to the toilet when I start speaking. I said, "Yeah, we can do catering." And Deb's looking at me as if, "Do we?" And but I believe you can do anything you put your mind to. Worry about it afterwards.
I'm a great believer in that. As long as you do a reasonable job, obviously.
Yeah,
it was very good. Yeah. I got into lots of trouble for how much I'd eaten.
And I think you took crisps home, didn't you?
No.
What? Didn't know about that. It's in his pocket.
What, yeah. Mr. Andrews took a
he
doggy
stole
bagger.
From us, yeah.
He took a doggy bag home.
Yeah. But I love that approach because it is the real approach to business. It's how you do things in the real world. Is you take opportunities as they're presented to you, and then you do the best you can with them, and you do a good job with them, and then once you've done that, then people will use you again.
Yeah.
So all power to you.
Catering, that is the one and only job we've done.
Right, okay.
We haven't been asked again.
Yeah.
It wasn't really cost effective. The cleaning is more beneficial for us as a company, but it led us down the path of loads of different stuff that we've done along the way.
And that's good, isn't it? Because you never set out to be caterers anyway.
No.
You did something to help somebody out effectively, and you've also therefore tried something different. Which I like, and as you just said, Joe, it wasn't particularly lucrative in the overall scheme of things, so you don't do it again.
No.
Yeah, unless, you know, something comes along and you fancy doing it.
Well, we are going to speak to someone in Canterbury. They've got some lovely grounds, and we're going to talk about doing vintage tea parties now.
Right, okay.
Because we are a catering service as well, you know, Paul.
Yeah.
So that might be lucrative. You know, we've got someone who's in catering. They might be able to run it, because there's always these naming ceremonies or christening ceremonies or stuff like that. They're a lot of money, 25 quid for a tea party. We can undercut that, have some nice surroundings, and they're popular at the moment.
So, just winding back a little bit, you started J&D Cleaning Services. When did you start?
It was middle of April.
This year?
Yeah.
So you're kind of 4 months, 4 or 5 months in?
Four.
Okay. And how have you found that? What? Try and talk us through, because people are interested in startups and how it works, and I love your honesty about the kind of things you do, because so many people are not honest. You know, when you talk to them a few years down the line, they remember how they started in a different way to the reality of how they started. Not to deceive anyone, but they just forget, you know, what it was like starting a business. So I think hearing from people that have started recently and hearing about all the things that you faced in starting a business is really important, and it's inspirational for people to understand that what's happening to them kind of happens to other people too. So talk me through the process. Deb came around and said, "Get off the couch, you lazy wassail.
Sort yourself out."
We literally had a chat, didn't we, because we were going to go for an interview to be someone else's cleaner.
Right.
And we realised that there was a total lack of communication in a lot of businesses, and it used to annoy us, didn't it? We always said, didn't we, you know, this is all these people get paid for, and yet we have to constantly do their jobs. So we know, because of our backgrounds and stuff, that we've got a lot of experience in different things, and that, you know, we can sort of think outside the box, and we do know what people want. We can see it. So we literally said, right, tomorrow, because my family have a cleaning company selling supplies. So I got home and rung my uncle and just said, can we come round for a chat tomorrow? Went and picked Jo up, took her to meet my uncle, sat there and spoke to them, bandied about a few ideas, didn't we? On the way home,
My friend, Roy Fever, lovely man, Evolution Properties, saw him a couple of weeks before in Tesco's, and I said, I'm on my downers, I haven't got a job. And he said, well, I haven't got any positions or anything. I said, I need something. It's getting desperate. So I rang him up. I said, Roy, it's Joe. I told you, you know, I didn't have a job. Well, I've got my own cleaning company now. Have you got any cleaners?
And 2 hours old it was.
And he went, no, I haven't. I went, you have now. So we cleaned for him all his postlets. Right. And he was our first job.
Which was brilliant.
Postlets. So when people leave their rented accommodation,
right,
we go and clean for them before they hand over to another tenant.
Fantastic.
And then the day after, we went to my cousin's, who's got the cleaning supplies company.
Billy Boy.
And just said, you know, look, this is what we're going to do. You know, he gave us training DVDs and he gave us a box of products each. We went away to sort of try them out at home, didn't we? And we got our first job there from a cousin.
See, I'm loving this because this is all about the power of networking. It's all about calling in people you know, who know people that know somebody that know somebody else. It is totally about the power of networking and about learning as you go along and not being scared to go to people and go, hey, I need your advice, I need your help. Because don't you find that when you ask people for advice, they invariably give it to you?
Oh, yeah,
that's
so much.
People very rarely hold back, do they?
No, it doesn't cost a thing. Yeah. It's not costing us anything, and that's when you start your business. You don't want to be paying out money.
Exactly.
You don't want to be doing that.
Yeah.
So the fact that if someone's just sitting next to you on the bus and you go, do you need a cleaner? No,
but
my friend does.
Yeah.
And then you're networking all the time. Even when we go to the supermarket, we're networking.
Yeah.
We're seeing someone from the school. We're seeing someone from the gym.
We chat to everyone and tell them what we're doing, and then they just come out with all this advice. Some we try and then we think, we've learnt that from that, but that's not quite working.
Yep.
But it does lead us on to something else, and then we just go with it. We've just gone with it all the way along.
Yep.
When you first started, did you find that you were quite aggressive in, oh my God, we can clean for you? And now, actually, your approach is slightly more gentle or not?
No, we've never been like that because I didn't believe in myself as a business person. And Debbie, she's had quite the same as you, Stephen, she's had various businesses. She's always coming up with something and been let down by partners that have, you know, not been what they said they were. So Deb, but she keeps on going, and she believed in me. Deb's really believed in me, which was brilliant. So I didn't want to let her down. And I'm normally the one to say I'm right. And she's mellowed me a lot more and got me to understand that I can and I'm really good at business. And that's only because Debbie's done that for me, because I didn't think I could do that. But I can, and everyone can. It's easy enough if you believe in yourself. And the product, I'm giving a service, and I give a very, very good service. If you don't like my service, then that's not you having a go at me individually. You probably wouldn't like anyone's service because you're that particular person, and that's fine. But we don't want to work like that. We want you to come in and be proud of what we've done, because we've put a lot of pride in it as well.
Mm. Absolutely. Cool.
There's something I learned. A bigger force called the British Army, they teach you 3 words: assess, learn, adapt.
Yep.
That's the trouble. A lot of people don't. You listen to what people want. This is what Debbie's taught me. You don't tell them what we can provide, because they might not want all of that.
Absolutely.
Ask them, what are your needs?
That is one of the most powerful things ever. Mm. Yeah, absolutely right, Joe. That one of the biggest failures of selling is people keep coming along and trying to tell you what you need.
Yeah,
yeah, they try and sell you what they've got. They never come along and ask you what you want or what you need or how you need it. Now, not everybody knows what they want or knows what they need, but you should ask people what they want. So many people try and tell you what they're going to do.
The marketplace dictates your product.
Mm.
That's the way it should be, not the other way around.
Yeah.
You don't dictate to the marketplace.
No,
you lose.
One of my pet things is LinkedIn. The amount of people that connect with me on LinkedIn and then send me a message and try and sell me something straight away. And it drives me nuts because they haven't made any attempt to find out what I want. Yeah, they haven't even read my profile.
No.
I had one yesterday. A guy emailed me and he said, thanks for connecting. I work with Microsoft and we're part of the government digitisation scheme. Your company and you are just right for digitising your business. And I went, really? And he went, yeah. I mean, based on what? Based on it's just perfect for you. I mean, I run a digital business. I'm a Kent County Council envoy.
I've got them. I've had them in the past. Yeah. I've had fun with them. Other power suppliers.
Yeah.
Finding me up. Luckily, just so happened, there was another. I was talking to another broker on another phone line, and we played them. And we beat them on price.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, though.
I had somebody
from LinkedIn,
yeah,
linking me message, email me, and rang me all in the same day. Mm. I'm not going to connect with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. So I think there's a way of coming to mind.
It's entirely what Joe was saying. Is that people try to sell you something without having a clue what it is you need or want. And the idea isn't that. Excuse me. The idea is to start a conversation and find out what people want and need. Mm. If it's not something you can deliver, that's fine.
Mm. We can, Paul.
But you can, sure. But do you know, But the funny thing is, you know, quite often, but here's the thing, though, Joe. You came to Kent Space and said, do you need a cleaner? And I go, no, because I've already got one. And that's fine. You accept that. You go, yeah. And they go, but I do need someone to do the catering. Mm. Yeah, so it just shows you by listening, even when they don't want what you've got, you might find something else that they do want. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. And the interesting thing of that is that you didn't want to go off necessarily in that as a business direction, but the fact that you did that got you on this radio show, it got you other contacts, other people met you and know of you and know of what you do.
And it made us confident as well, didn't it?
I've just spoken downstairs and their cleaner's going on holiday in December and she wants us to cover.
Well, there you go.
So we did get the job in the end.
Exactly, yeah.
Not straight away, but we did get it eventually.
And so you've done that by building relationships and actually being approachable and being consistent. So you're still here doing what you say you do.
Yeah.
And the customer is always right.
We pride ourselves on being good communicators, don't we?
And that's the key thing. Yeah. That is totally the key thing here, is that so many organisations will come along and go, do you want to buy one of these? And you go, no, thanks, not at the moment. And they just walk away and they go, no, I'll go to the next one. You never hear from them again, which is fine. But they don't realise how they've missed out. Many years ago, I worked as a consultant. And I was working with some organisations that sold fairly low-value products. So that their churn rate was incredibly high, you know, and they just didn't care. And they go, well, you know, it's only 100 quid, it's only 100 quid, it's only 100 quid. I don't care, you know, we'll be rude to the customers, who cares? And I said, you do realise that you're actually destroying your own business, yeah? I said, because it's not a £100 sale. It's actually a £100,000 sale. What are you talking about? The lifetime value of your product, the lifetime value of your product is £100 every month for 20 years, yeah? Not a one-off fee of £100. If you build a relationship, that customer will come back time after time after time. They'll spend loads of money. And they tell other people.
Yeah.
And the lifetime value of that is a huge amount of money. Mm. But because you treat it as a low-value thing and you abuse it as a low-value thing, you'd lose out on all of that. Mm. Absolutely.
But I think that is now with the networking and that. I mean, myself and Debs, we come from Mile End and you come from
Bow.
So we're Cockney and we're Londoners.
Yeah.
So we're always, you know, if you like someone, you're going to buy off them or whatever it is. Yeah. We don't go by someone else telling
people
us.
People buy from people.
I mean, of course they do.
Yeah.
And it's gone full circle and it is more like that now. You do hear, you know. And that's why we're getting a lot of business, because people actually like us and we listen.
Yeah. It's interesting, because of social media and the digital world and the ability to make contact with vast numbers of people that you wouldn't normally have come into contact with, a lot of people assume that it's becoming personal, but it actually hasn't. If you look at things like Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, when you build relationships with people on there, increasingly people are meeting. You know, like most of the networking things that I go to are people that met virtually on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or wherever, and then get to meet each other face to face, because that's the next step in evolving a relationship, a business relationship with people.
Of course, look at me with Facebook Live. I meet so many people and they'll go, oh my God, I watched you. Oh my God, it's, you know, because of that. That virtual world that somebody's never met you, but they have.
Yeah.
They've all engaged with you and who you are.
And I've met you.
Yeah.
I've noticed sometimes on LinkedIn, people haven't got a photograph on their profile.
I don't understand that. I mean,
and Facebook as well, it's getting more and more.
Mm. I mean, that whole thing with social media is, it all depends what you're trying to do with social media, you know. But on LinkedIn, people that put pictures of their dog or something, you just think, really? Do you really not understand? Or no picture at all?
Yeah.
But Coming back to you ladies and growing your business, J&D Cleaning Services.
Limited.
Limited. So you've just registered as a limited company now. Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Already, after 4 months. Blimey.
And we've employed 5 staff.
Have you?
Yeah.
See, isn't that fantastic in such a short space of time? Yeah. And that's interesting, isn't it? Once you start employing people, it takes you to a whole different level of how you have to run the business. So talk us through how you're finding that, how are you sourcing the people that have come to work for you, and how are you finding having other people work for you?
Well, the thing is, it's normally people that we know because we've worked with them in different industries and we know they're reliable because this is a service.
Yep.
You're not selling a product that can sell itself.
Sure.
You're selling a service. Everyone can clean, but we can't all be cleaners.
Yeah.
So what we do is we go to...
where do we do our maintenance?
International.
Hotel, the International Hotel. Because it's free parking. It looks good.
Yeah.
And also we
get them a coffee.
Yeah, we get them a coffee and we photograph their passport as well.
We ask them to look at our Facebook beforehand to see if they can sort of tell us what they think we're about.
Okay, good.
To see if they get it,
And we want their passion as well. And we interview them and say, you know, you're going to be, but you are representing us. If you go in for a two-hour clean, you are going to do a two-hour clean. If you answer the phone... You're not a child. You can answer your phone, but you will do 2 hours, 10 minutes then because that person is paying for your services. It's like you're sitting in an office and doing a job.
I'm smiling.
Why?
Because I own a place, an office, and we had a cleaning contract cleaner that was supposed to be cleaning, and they wanted to do the cleaning on a Saturday evening. Fine, I don't care when they do it, as long as they do it, yeah. Well, we have CCTV cameras everywhere, and... We got in on a Monday and nothing had been done. Nothing had been cleaned. So we just looked, and basically the cleaner turned up, sat in a chair, smoked a fag indoors, was there about 20 minutes and then left. And so we wrote to them and said, did you clean lot? Well, actually, our CCTV and our digital door technology says you actually didn't.
We say to the staff, don't we, that, you know, you need to clean as if there are cameras and microphones in every room. So you watch what you say and you watch what you do.
Yeah.
Because you can. I mean, the cameras, you can buy little cameras now, put them in a teddy or whatever, because you're going into someone's house, so they are going to want to know that you're trustworthy.
Yeah.
So, and if they do that, they're well within their rights because, you know, you should be, you get paid for...
Respect people's privacy.
Yeah, you should be getting paid. They're paying you for an hour's service, so you should be doing an hour of work.
Mm.
So we do agree with that, don't we?
Do you have your staff DBS checks?
Yes, we are fully. I foster care and I've got foreign students, both myself and Debs.
Yeah.
And so we are DBS checked.
And all the staff, most of the staff come from care, don't they?
When I start taking staff on from brokers, they have to be DBS checked because they'll be going to see clients.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely.
Residential homes, schools, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But regardless of cameras, everyone's got a neighbour.
Yeah.
So you might be at work, but your woman over the road went, your cleaner coming, they were only there 10 minutes and they went. So, well,
but at the end of the day, you don't actually need a camera. I can tell if you cleaned or not.
Exactly. You can smell straight away.
The bins aren't empty, you know.
Yeah,
there's
still dust, look.
Yeah. The inspection with the white glove.
Yeah, yeah. But you didn't even need, you know, the bins are all still overflowing, you know. The toilet's not been cleaned. It's obvious that it hasn't been cleaned, you know. You don't need a rocket scientist or a CCTV to tell that somebody didn't clean it.
But also, like you said, we diversed into catering and it took us on a completely different level and it was beneficial to us. We don't have a strict box which we sit in. If someone wants us, which we did the other day, just do the inside of their conservatory.
Right.
Someone wants us to pull our sofa out and clean that or the inside windows, we will do that because that hour is exactly what they want. Some people are old and they just want a bit of company.
Yeah.
So never had a cooked meal before and I said, well, while we're cleaning, I'll make you some lasagna or something like that.
Well,
okay. Will you? Yeah, of course we can. You're paying us for that hour. And it's going to make your life easier.
It's funny how service businesses like that are suddenly becoming involved. My daughter-in-law, bless her, runs a small business called The Cycling Gardener. And she has a push bike with a little trailer on the back, and she cycles around in the area where she lives, and she does the gardens for all the little old ladies and blokes. And what she just does, you know, small stuff, because she doesn't have the facilities to do anything. So she'll just cut the hedge, weed the flower beds. Yeah, do it. And a lot of it is just, you know, they come out and talk to her while she's doing it, and she just tidies up their front garden a little bit. And it's a lovely little business that makes such a difference to people's lives for not very much money.
But a lot of people, I know it's sad, but they only do it because they're getting something back. Mm. But you find the genuine ones. We actually want to, you know, I've got nans and stuff like that. You want to help people because they might not have close family or anything.
Yeah.
They want us to do that, and it's a bit of companionship. We get a lot out of that, don't we? Mm. It's really good. We find that good.
There's a couple of retired gardeners, and they're still doing it because they live on their own. They go out to meet people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Ladies, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. If people want to find out more about J&D Cleaning Services Limited, how can they do that?
They can go on our Facebook at J&D Cleaning. Or they can phone numbers or not?
Yeah, go for it.
Phone us on 07961 007.
007.
Yeah, I'll pick that one. 507. License to clean.
Give us that number again.
It's 07961 007 507, and Deb's got a number if you want to call Deb's. 077-564-351-69.
Fantastic. Ladies, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
All power to you. Keep on keeping on. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. John Debs from J&D Cleaning Services Limited.
Thanks
fantastic.
For having us. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
We're fast approaching the end of the show. Have you got anything else you need to cover?
Nope.
Yeah, nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, I've got something.
What have you got? Well, why do you always reach down there? Why do you have it on your desk?
I've got no room.
Get on with you. Come on. What you got?
It's Kent's only military vehicle and air show. And it's an event that will be returning to Headcorn Airdrome on Saturday the 19th and Sunday the 20th of August. The Combined Ops Military and Air Show is a unique event with a variety of vintage and modern aircraft displays on the ground and in the air. This year there will be a chance to see the mighty Lancaster, a display, as well as the RAF workhorse, the Chinook, up close on the ground. The Airdrome attracts lots of vintage aircraft from all over the country, and throughout each day, aircraft are always landing and taking off. It's certainly a busy weekend for air traffic control. A large selection of the machines on display are driven around the event arena, where running commentary will keep you informed of all the facts and figures as you see these beautifully restored machines roar into life. If you've never been close to these amazing machines and their pilots, then now is the time. Every year, there's also a fierce battle fought in the fields of Headcorn, depicting real scenes from World War II. The reenactors, armed with real weapons, expending thousands of blank rounds, engaging carefully planned skirmishes. The sound from the guns is deafening, together with explosions that actually blow holes in the ground and fill the air with dirt and smoke. It's certainly adrenaline-pumping action. The battle reenactments take place on both days and combine men and machinery in a well-rehearsed fight. Tanks roaring from one side while the opposition open fire from the other side. This is about as realistic as it gets. It's a great family event which includes static military vehicles, living history reenactment groups, arena events, military stalls and children's mini tanks and food stalls to make this a perfect day out. The great event takes place at Headcorn Airdrome, which is in Shenley Road, Headcorn, TN279HX, and it's from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day on Saturday the 19th and Sunday the 20th of August. If you want more information or to book your tickets, go to
www.headcornevents.co.uk. That's a great day in the summer holidays.
Isn't it? Yeah.
You're going,
aren't you? I am, and it's one of those things that you can take everybody to, from your little kids to your granddad, yeah?
Did they have the War and Peace event this year?
No.
The War and Peace event stopped, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
It's usually at Folkestone Racecourse, but it hasn't been this year.
Because Folkestone Racecourse has been sold for housing.
Yeah.
And they did hold it at the hop farm at one stage as well, but it's not, I don't think it's on anymore.
No. But what I love about that is, did you know that we had the Red Arrows over in Folkestone a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Yeah.
So I love all these things that are there. And of course, that's close to your birthday as well. Hashtag just saying.
Talking about air displays, how about this for pretentiousness? a friend of mine, her daughter got married a few weeks ago, and Amanda and I went to the wedding and to the reception afterwards. And at the reception, in their garden, they had an aerobatic display.
No way.
From the blades, and so they're propeller-driven planes. And there were five of them, but all five pilots, are former, including a female pilot, are all former Red Arrows, and they now have their own personal aerobatic display called Blades. And they gave an aerobatic display in these propeller-driven planes right over their garden.
You
it was unbelievable.
That, yeah. You could do that over your garden.
Yeah.
Brilliant, private Kensington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be lovely.
There's a plane on me. Brilliant. Two-seater.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, that'd brilliant. Be hilarious.
Do you know, I've never flown a plane. I've flown a helicopter and I've flown a glider, but I've never flown a... And a hot air balloon.
I've done an aircraft.
Wow. Yeah, but amazing. I've never flown a plane. Yeah.
No, cool. Right.
Good. Well, there we are.
What a great show.
Yeah, so we've reached the end of another show.
Mm.
Hasn't it gone quickly?
Yes.
We will be back next week. I just need to tell you that our sister show on Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show, presented by Amanda Flanders. This week, her co-host is the absolutely lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and their guest is Mr. Peter Allen of Beresford Accountants.
Oh, nice.
So that's the Business Bunker Extra Show this Friday, 11 a.m. till 12 a.m. with Amanda and Gemma and their guest Peter Allen. Do tune in for that. We'll be back with another show next week. I just want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, who are the lovely folks at Operational Accounting Systems, who provide systems and software to help your people and processes. So thank you to Oasis for sponsoring this week's show. Thank you to our guest, Mr. Stephen Connor of CBS for Kent.
Chief of Business Services, Kent.
Go again.
Cheaper Business Services, Kent.
Cheaper Business Services, Kent. There we are. CBS, Cheaper Business Services, Kent. Mr. Stephen Connor, thank you so much. And to the lovely Joe and Debs from J&D Cleaning Services Limited.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
And my gorgeous co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike.
Thank you very much.
We'll all be back with a Business Bunker show next week. Coming up later today, we have...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always, here on Channel Radio, we finish up with the fantastic Mr. Boy George. Oh, hold on. Sorry about that. We finish up with a fantastic Mr. Boy George at 11 o'clock. But we'll be back next week with another show. And we will see you all then. Have a good week in the meantime. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Channel 2 Talk Radio.